This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Giants forward. Pushes a pass to Cello. Now tied in the middle. Oh, back flick by Klaus, but it's right at Stefan. Just dips to a knee and picks it up.
Joey Zanaboni, Dale Schilly with a call on Y98 FM. And that's how the season has gone so far for St. Louis City SC. They have not scored a goal. They also haven't allowed a goal. Two clean sheets for them, scoreless draws. And last night, a late one, not even 12 hours old, they ended up in a 0-0 tie with San Diego. Let's listen in. This is Coach Olaf Melberg. We'll be hearing from him in just a bit, his post-game press conference and visit on Y98 FM. You heard right there the call, Zanaboni and Schilly, and those two have been, I think, really good watching, observing, calling what has been now season three for City. And last year was a disappointment, but it was also a season that the team went through a lot. I mean, they played, 11 different center backs? They had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of change. They changed their coach early in year two, kind of midway through year two. After a very successful year one in which they won the regular season in the Western Conference, got knocked out of the playoffs. That left a bitter taste in their mouth. They came back and just did not play and were not as fortunate as they were in year one. Now, year three, the expectation is that this team makes the postseason, makes the playoffs, and makes a run. And so far, they have earned points. They have not scored, but they have also been very, very good defensively. Let's listen in. This is Olaf Melberg on that and more from San Diego.
Recording in progress.
Hey, Olaf. Is this kind of the reverse of last week where you felt you could have maybe should have gotten 3 points out of it? Were you kind of lucky to get 1 point out of
it? Sorry, Tom, I'm a little bit losing you there. I can't hear everything you're saying. Can you repeat that?
Sure. Last week, you felt as though maybe you should have gotten 3 points out of that game. This week, considering the possession and the chances San Diego had, were you fortunate to get 1 point? Did that come through? Bring anything?
Well, we think Olaf and Tom Timmerman might just be having a little connection issue, but we do feel confident Olaf is going to share his thoughts with us on our City postgame show, Y98.
I don't know if I would call it fortunate, but obviously they had a lot of possession and created more chances than we did. So we're happy with the draw. Looking at how the game developed.
Concerns about the offense in these first two games?
Not in the first game. Today, for sure. I thought we lost the ball too easily and too quickly. I think that you know, that's what made us defend for long periods of time. We knew this was a good possession team. So if you lose the ball easily and unnecessary, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 times in the first half in 45 minutes, you end up defending basically the whole half. So yeah, definitely we need to improve our build up, have more options there. So yeah, we don't end up defending most of the game.
It looked like the defense handled it pretty well they were under pressure for much of the game, but did a good job.
Yeah, definitely. I thought we struggled a little bit first 10, 15. They found a couple of balls in behind us that were dangerous. But after that, we defended really, really well. I think the expected goals for them was 0.8. So, credit again to the guys in the hard work they put in. They fought for each other and some strong individual defensive performances as well.
That is Olaf Melberg, head coach for City. And among those performances, I would say Henry Kessler. He led all players in defensive actions, interceptions, blocks, tackles with 15. City earning back-to-back clean sheets for just the fourth time in club history, the other three being from the 2023 stretch in March, July, and then actually April of last year. They had back-to-back clean sheets, and they have done this. Another note, Celio Pompeu made his first appearance for City in almost a year. June 14th, 2024 was the last time for Pompeu, and the City club gets a 0-0 draw with San Diego. You heard Olaf Melberg there talking about the defense. Thought the atmosphere was really good. Brought in Chris Durkin for Cedric Teuscher at halftime. Said he wanted to be a little stronger there defensively. And Roman Berkey said he had no concerns about the team's offensive performance, saying, quote, "I think we played a really good team, which just didn't allow anything." He said, "Now, after the game, we can always say we should have gone a little bit higher, tried to press higher, but he says the quality that I saw from San Diego was there, and it would have been maybe too much of a risk that they played us out and then we did not have enough guys behind the ball." So that's Roman Berkey's comment on the lack of offense. You heard a little bit of concern there from Olaf Melberg about the offense in game two rather than game one, but defensively his team has been solid. Zero goals allowed through two games, and they pick up a point on the road against San Diego FC. It'll get tough for them. They're going to face the reigning MLS Cup champions, LA Galaxy, on Sunday at 6 p.m. Central Time. But this one, a 0-0 draw at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. We'll take a break. When we come back, another sport is about to get going here in St. Louis, and that's football. The Dome is going to be rocking again with St. Louis Battlehawks fans making their way in to go see the Beehawks. We're going to talk it over with Kyle Kasky, their special teams coach and running backs coach, about all the changes that are being made, but some things they are carrying over from 24, which was a very successful season for St. Louis. We'll talk some Battlehawks, and then John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45 before we take you to Cardinal Baseball on KMOX.
KMOX.
It is that time of year again, football in St. Louis. UFL season is upon us as the St. Louis Battlehawks play at the Dome in downtown St. Louis. Wasn't that a lot of fun last year until the end? Mike Martz and I had the call on that historic radio broadcast, first one for the Battlehawks. We thought we were going to have a two-game package there as they were going to go to the championship in their own dome. As it turned out, they lost to San Antonio, but it was a heck of a year. Really fun. Great seeing the crowds in there. And joining us is a coach back for his second season with Anthony Becht, and that is Kyle Kasky, special teams coordinator, running backs coach for the St. Louis Battlehawks. Good morning, coach.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
It's great to be with you. That was a fun year last year. As you know, you don't like to end with a loss, but every team ends with a loss except for the champ. And you made it to the conference championship. Just couldn't pull it off last year. I'm sure that this year, you got a little bit of that gnawing at you, ready to get something back.
You know, we had, like you said, we had such a good year, but then, you know, you play San Antonio three times, twice in a row, and that's no excuse. It's just, I mean, we just one of those games that we didn't quite play up to what we should have, and we all know that, and we're carrying that with us, that you can't have a lull at any point, whether it's at the end, at the beginning, and we got to, you know, we just play up to what we know we can do, worry about us, and that's been the big thing right now with these players. We got a lot of guys back. And a lot of these guys understand that feeling we felt when we flew back from St. Louis that night, and we don't want to feel that again.
You will get San Antonio again right away. Your home opener is actually April 6th against them, but first things first, at Houston on March 28th, the day after the Cardinals open their baseball season here in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, so everything's happening at once. What do you think about the team so far and what you've seen in terms of off-season assembly of this roster and now as you get into some training?
I think Dave Bowler and Coach Beck have done a great job of filling holes that we had. You know, there's guys that aren't back, but again, the guys that we got back, we retained a lot of our playmaker kind of guys. And there's guys that, you know, that maybe showed up on special teams. We had a special teams player of the year last year in Chris Garrett. And, you know, it's guys like that that we got back on this roster that have been in it, that know what we expect. And then we're filling, like, if you look at our receiver core, I mean, we loaded up at receiver. We've got some big-name guys, Denzel Mims, Andy Isabella, and all the guys we already had. Offensive player of the year, Akeem Butler, man. My running back room, we added a guy, Jarvion Howard, who I'm just telling you, played with the Packers and a really good player, and then along with Jacob Saylors, who obviously we all know what he did last year, and Kevon Latulis. So, I mean, we retooled our team, and I'm really excited to see it. Defensively was the same way.
You have to have that depth at running back, don't you? You want to continue to hit them with running backs off the sidelines. Saylors led the way. Who else is emerging?
We have a young guy that was with us during camp and came back late. Kevon Latulis played at Missouri State, so he's a local guy to you guys and in St. Louis. And it's like one of those things where I think his explosiveness and his type of play, because he really has that that second gear that when he gets in the open, he's going to be gone. And I'm excited to see him play. He came back towards the end of the year, and we used him more on special teams. But this Jarvion Howard guy we got, he started at Syracuse, ended up at Alcorn State. He's bounced around. He was in Green Bay's camp last year. And he's a bigger guy. I think he's 222 pounds. He's got the, you know, the thick thighs. You know, they always say thick thighs save lives. I think that's what the Memphis guy said last year. But he's one of those guys. He's a bigger back, going to bring that to our team. So we're looking forward to, you know, that. And again, having the depth is big, because you keep those guys fresh, that, you know, causes problems.
Absolutely. This is Kyle Kasky, St. Louis Battlehawks running backs coach and special teams coordinator. You mentioned Chris Garrett, special teams player of the year. You lose Darius Shepherd. He has called it a career. I really like him. Had a lunch with him last season, had a nice chat with him. Nice young man, also a heck of a player. So what do you see at the returner position?
Right now, it's a little bit up in the air, but we've got guys who've done it. We've got, Ja'Cory Pearson, Peasy. Number one, our receiver, he's done it before. He returned punts for us last year as well. Darius missed a couple games last year, and Darius did that. When Darius missed it, Ja'Cory came in for him. And then Blake Jackson returned, a 75-yarder against D.C. last year. He's back in the receiver room. And then we'll find some of these running backs. Honestly, with the new kickoff rules, the running backs are actually kind of the guys that are making hay right now with the way that the blocking sets up with the new kickoff. So we'll give these guys a chance to see, and somebody's going to emerge. And yeah, it's hard to lose a guy like Darius, because I mean, that guy was second in the league in all purpose yards, and he missed two games. So yeah, that's, you know, we got to find somebody to replace him.
So people understand there is a change in the formation of kickoffs. Right, Kyle? A little bit different, somewhat what the NFL is doing, something like that?
It's actually exactly what the NFL does, mm-hmm. other than the fact that we're kicking the ball from the 30. So we bump the kickoff back 5 yards from where they kick it, so we're trying to attempt to keep the ball out of the end zone and touchbacks. The other thing that's just different from the NFL is touchbacks will come all the way out to the 35. So if you do kick the ball out of the back of the end zone, you're just saying, here's the ball at the 35-yard line, which is not really what you'd like to do. But the guys are going to be aligned. The kickoff team will be aligned on the 40, the plus 40 on the other side of the 50 from the kicker. The kickoff return team will be on the 35. And it's almost like the kickoff from last year where they can't move until it's like the NFL. You can't move till the ball's caught. But they're 5 yards away from each other, and that old school like Oklahoma drill type of mentality where it's one on one, and here comes the runner behind you. There's a lot of that. Now there's some scheme to it, but it's really going to be more who wins their battles up front. And if the runner breaks through that line, there's not a whole lot of people there. It's not like you've got them staggered like you've had in the past with kickoff teams. So it'll be interesting to see which teams adapt to it quicker. We're working hard on that too right now, and we'll get that scheme in with these guys soon. But camp is short, and we got to find guys who want to win battles. And as long as they win battles, I think we're going to be fine.
This is Kyle Kasky, special teams coordinator, St. Louis Battlehawks, also their running backs coach. These players are good. I mean, they are just a step below the NFL. In fact, many of them advance onto the NFL, and you've had a coach advance. So you are a former NFL coach. You coach running backs with the Lions, Bengals. You've also coached with the Jaguars, and now Bruce Gradkowski moves to the Lions. I would say that's a feather in the cap of the St. Louis Battlehawks. You get him into a position where he gets picked up by Detroit, and now you move to a new coordinator in Phil McGagan.
Yeah, and we couldn't be more happy for Bruce. I mean, that's exactly why we did it. Players are here to get to that next level. We as coaches are here because either we're trying to break into it or we've been there and we're trying to get back in. And that's what we're doing. And again, it's not a knock on the league. I think that's a feather in the cap of the league, like you said, that somebody came and got a coach off of our staff at the highest level. And Bruce, with him leaving, yeah, it's going to be, it's always different just when a different person's voice is being said. But Phil was here with us last year, and I think Phil's going to do an amazing job for us. He collaborates with all of us that are here in the building really well. And the biggest thing is, man, we all get along. We all like each other. So I know that sounds crazy, but that goes a long way, especially when you're not around these guys all year and then you come back together. So we know each other. We respect each other. And it's going to be fun to see how this thing goes.
Well, that's very important. I mean, you guys all have coffee and lunch and late nights together, a lot of talking, a lot of collaborating, no doubt about it. And I'm curious your read on the quarterback situation. So A.J. McCarron, he is let go, basically. You move on from him, I should say. And now, is it a competition? How do you see this right now?
I do think it's a competition. And Manny Wilkins is coming back from last year. Manny knows the system, in and out. But, the two guys, Max Duggan and Chevin Cordero, I mean, those guys are going to bring in some competition that is going to be good. And with Manny, he knows these guys. And I think that gives him, it gives him a leg up initially. And we'll see how he runs with that. And Manny did a really good job for us as a back. He was ready to go when AJ got hurt there at the end of the year and popped in and played a couple games. But we will say, and again, they all have, slightly different skill sets, but, they are all different from AJ. I'll tell you that. AJ, was a drop back type passer. And, these guys might bring a little extra juice in some other areas, but we'll see what happens, and it's going to be fun to watch them go. We only have 15 practices before we make cuts, so the decisions are going to be made pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'd want to throw to Hakeem Butler if I were a quarterback,
no doubt.
Man. The 6'5", about 225-pound Iowa State Cyclone. By the way, you have a Cyclone on the staff. Seneca Wallace, I covered a couple of his games back in the day with Iowa State. Boy, he was tough.
Yeah, and he's when you hear him coach, you realize how much knowledge the guy has from playing the position, and he does a good job. Well, I've listened to him talk to these quarterbacks already, and I mean he is very detailed, but he's not using some language that a quarterback of his capacity could be using and maybe overwhelming them. He actually teaches it from the ground up, and it's amazing just listening to him do that because he's played the position for one at a high level. And I mean, for him to come in here, and he got hired not that long ago. And I mean, he's got the offense down, and I mean, we're going to be ready to go. He's going to do a good job with those quarterbacks.
I'm looking forward to it all. The St. Louis Battlehawks open the season at Houston. That's going to be on Friday, March 28th, but the home opener, April 6th, against San Antonio. Let's see the dome packed and the noise that it's famous for. And these football fans are hungry. You can get tickets at UFLBattlehawks.com. And we've been talking to Battlehawks assistant coach Kyle Kasky on KMOX. Thanks so much for this, Coach. We appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. And we're all excited to see those guys back at the Dome too, man. So we're ready to go.
I bet you are. Kyle Kasky, running backs coach, special teams coordinator with the St. Louis Battlehawks. Great to hear from him. Great to talk some football on the show. When we come back, we'll talk to Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. He will join us live from Jupiter, Florida, next.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
With Marquise Grissom Jr. pitching for the Washington Nationals and Thomas Ajayi at the plate for the Cardinals. A swing and a ground ball, base hit! Redbird winner! Ajayi singles in Dakota Harris, and the Cardinals walk off this game, winning 3-2 over the Nats.
What a walk-off, as John Rooney had the call on KMOX yesterday. Cardinals back on the air today for a 12-10 start against the Marlins. 12 o'clock pregame, and we welcome in for a little bit here. We always appreciate John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, joining us live. Hello, Mo.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Doing great. Ajayi with walk-off. I love that. And hearing Wilson Contreras hit a bomb 453 feet. Has that landed yet? I don't know. 114 off the bat. That was quite an emphatic swing and home run from Contreras.
Yeah, it was loud, I can tell you that, and it went far. No, it was good. He's had some really good at-bats in the first week of camp, and that's great to see. You know, definitely making adjustments, playing first base, and, you know, from early returns, that's looked pretty positive. So, you know, I definitely think it's going to deepen our lineup if we're able to get production out of him from first base / DH. And, you know, I think 3 weeks left in this camp, so still a lot to go through, but so far so good.
Yeah, there's a lot to evaluate. Roster and then position, who's going to play where. How do you see first base? Baker's going to get the start today. I know that Contreras obviously can play DH whenever you need him.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Yeah, that's right. And I would also throw Burley into that discussion, too, in the sense that, you know, depending on how you want to match up against the opposing pitcher, gives you some flexibility. But definitely Baker right now, he's vying for a spot on this roster. And I think being able to play first base helps, but also that right-handed bat off the bench is also something that's very intriguing. Obviously, a very successful hitter at AAA. And clearly has really impressive splits against left-hand pitching.
Sure does. And then the lefty bat of Burleson, obviously, as you said, plays at first DH. And what does it all mean for Gorman? You definitely want Gorman to get as many ABs as possible. Off to a slow start, but, you know, it's March 2nd. It's spring training. He's working and has been working for quite a while here.
Yeah, I think, you know, drawing any conclusions today is probably not helpful for anyone. But as you touched on it, he has gotten off to a slow start. I think he really just needs to focus on thinking about left center field and trying to drive the ball that way consistently. And if he does, I think the natural pull will happen. So let's, you know, give it a few weeks, see where it looks. But I know he's diligently trying to figure some things out and make some adjustments.
First week of games, your overall impression, some things that perhaps jumped out to you, Mo?
You know, I think right now the vibe in camp's positive, which is nice to see. Obviously, there was, you know, a lot of rumblings and all sorts of things going on this offseason, but here we are, and, you know, I feel like as a whole, we're getting along, we're gelling, and that part's great. So I think, you know, just changing the ebb and flow of the day, which is something that we were able to do this week with games, has been good to see. And then even this week, we start to mix in our first night game. So, and we also have a split this week. So lots going on this week. And, I think the key thing is just keep going, keep working, keep to the plan, and hopefully positive things will happen.
Yeah, I can see that. A routine starts to come into play. You go from working out to getting into games, as you mentioned. Steven Matz gets the start today. I see that Quinn Matthews was sent to minor league camp. Not a huge shocker there as you continue to work your pitching prospect into becoming a big leaguer.
Yeah, it is. It becomes so hard to get innings for starters. And, obviously Quinn, somebody we think a lot of about, and we ultimately want him just to be able to prepare for the season in a normal way and not shortchange him just to keep him in camp and not be able to get him those innings. And I would imagine later today we'll have more players going down, and we'll make that announcement then. But, obviously as you turn the calendar, each week goes by, you will typically see a camp reduction each week, and I would anticipate more players going out this afternoon.
What did you think so far of your starting rotation? You're going to get Matz going today, obviously. A big every start is big, but just to get him the work that he needs.
I think a couple things with Steven is, one, he's just got to show that he can – be healthy. I mean, that's obviously an important part of having a successful year. The other thing is just, believe in himself. He's got really good stuff, and when he's on, he can be a very dominating pitcher in this league.
I understand the intrigue of the situation the Cardinals are in, and now a transition. I read Ken Rosenthal's story where he talked to you a little bit. Yeah, I respect the heck out of Ken, but I mean, the first couple lines where he said that there was a promise of a reset, I don't remember there being a promise of a reset. I mean, I think that it was talked about. There was an intention to trade Nolan Arenado. Where do you see yourself now in terms of the direction of the club?
Well, I've always tried to never speak in absolutes, and I think I learned that a long time ago. So the one thing we publicly stated was payroll would come down, and it will be lower than it once was. In terms of like how we want to advance this organization, it's really twofold. One is we're trying to, really thread a needle here by, lowering that payroll, but also remaining competitive. And if in that thinking, it's really about, trying to keep our fan base engaged and believing in what we're doing. Fortunate that we are picking fifth in this year's draft. So, we're going to continue to build up that farm system, but in the meantime, try to win a few games. And if the season doesn't go as planned, then there'll be some different levers we can pull. But, I certainly feel like from ownership on down, we are trying to go out there and get back to October.
And just finally, the minor league system, of course, is being revamped. I'll bet you there are a lot of new faces down there walking around, collaborating. Not that you weren't before, but now the intentions are very strong, and you haven't even opened, completely opened up everything else yet. You got to see some minor leaguers start to really get after it.
Yeah, so minor league camp has opened, mm-hmm. So that's full throttle. But yeah, there are a lot of new faces. Obviously, we made a large investment in minor league personnel, so there's definitely a lot of new coaches running around the backfields, and hopefully. In a couple of years, we see returns from that. But in the meantime, guys are getting in their work. And, right now it's kind of fun to be out on the quad because there's a lot going on.
I'll bet there is. I appreciate the time as always. Thank you for joining us from Jupiter. The Cardinals are taking on the Marlins today, and I know it's a busy day. So thank you for dropping in. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Sounds good, Tommy. Thank you.
Thank you. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak always chiming in with the news of the day and what's going on with the club. We're going to talk to Bernie Miklas all about it coming up here in just a little bit, 11:38 on Sports on a Sunday morning. We're coming from the Stiefel Sports Studio, and again, we are a half hour away from baseball. Don't go anywhere. The Cardinals are coming up next. All right, we've had a show chock full of information going from Matt Pauly to Josh Schertz to Joey Vitale to Olaf Melberg to John Mozeliak. We also had Kyle Kasky, the running backs coach, special teams coordinator for the St. Louis Battlehawks, right before Mo. And now we go to Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. I kind of liked, and we're going to talk a lot of baseball, but I got rejuvenated talking football with Kyle Kasky. You know, you and I covered the Rams for a long time. Man, I love talking about the old gridiron.
Yeah, we've got so many great memories of the greatest show on turf. And then if you go back before that, of course, I don't have to tell you the Eric Auriel and Jim Hart and Terry Metcalf, Dan Dierdorf, all those guys. So it's been there's been some wonderful times in St. Louis football. I got to tell you what, I think the Battlehawks were right on time as far as, you know, when they emerged in the XFL, whatever we're calling it these days. But no, they're fun. They understand the community. They reach out. They're part of they get their fans fully engaged, and they're a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's fun to support them either as a fan or as a media person.
There's a lot going on around right now. You got the Battlehawks getting ready at the Dome. City played a scoreless draw last night out in San Diego. College basketball. Holy smokes. Dude, what about the Billikens? Dropping 98 on Loyola. Holy cow.
Yeah, Jimerson, he set a school record, program record, 9 threes. Their big three's really doing a nice job lately. So they're up, and the Billikens are up tied for third place in the conference. But what I like about this, and I hope they can stay hot, because then it'll give them a chance to be a live upset contender in the conference tournament, you know, where you look at them and say, well, what the heck, the way they're playing, they could steal this thing and get the NCAA tournament. But we got a little bit of time before that. But you got to like the way they're trending anyway.
I do, too. I think Mizzou will be fine. They lose in overtime at Vanderbilt, but they'll be fine. Illinois got a big challenge today here in a few hours at Michigan, but they got to try to put the gas pedal down and see what they can do. I'll tell you what, I will admit it, I wrote the Blues off. I did not think that they would be where they are now, let alone what they could be here in a week or so. They look unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know what to say. They looked incredible at Washington. Then they come home in a game they usually would lay an egg there. You know, this old Blues team, they were win one, lose one. They come out and smack the Kings. Bernie, they look like a different team.
They really do. And I want to point something out, because the four-game winning streak, which is wonderful, but that's getting most of the attention, which I totally get, because that's coming out of the Four Nations tournament break. But they actually, the two games before that, you know, they had a win and they got a point in an overtime loss. So it's not just that they won four in a row. You know, you go back to February 8th, they're 5-0-1 in their last six. And I just looked this up. The only team better in the league since February 8th are the Tampa Bay, I almost said Rays, excuse me, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Blues over this time, you know, of this 5-0-1 stretch that they're on, they have scored like 66% of the goals. I mean, they're not just winning. They've been basically dominating teams. And I looked at Money Puck this morning. See, Tom, I had a feeling you'd ask me about the Blues, so I had to come prepared. Their playoff odds are now 33%. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but a few weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, they were something like 6 or 7%. So, and they're 1 point out of a spot. Now, the hard part is going to be sustaining the success, because the Blues have been up and down. But this has been a pleasant turn, a pleasant twist in the season-long narrative, for
it
sure.
It sure has. A 4-1 win over the Kings. They play today at 5 against the Dallas Stars. Seems like the Blues are playing every day, and they just about are after their two-week layoff for the Four Nations faceoff. Not for Jordan Binnington. He obviously played in Colton Parayko, but they were right back at it yesterday. Parayko scored. Binnington with 25 saves. Pretty impressive. All right,
by the way, how about Parayko with 15 goals this season? I mean, that's awesome.
The dude looks incredible. I mean, he's fighting in the Four Nations faceoff. The guy's scoring. The Blues look like a different team. I don't want to get too excited, but I am. I can't help it. All right, let's spend the next 7-8 minutes talking baseball. I just talked to John Mozeliak. I asked him about Ken Rosenthal's story. Hearing him say they're trying to thread the needle, trying to stay competitive, please their fans, while also keeping this team young and moving forward. You and I have talked about this on the Gas House Gang, but it is intriguing to me. I'm neither for or against where they are. I'm just intrigued because you just don't see this very often in sports. Usually it's one or the other. A team will tear down or a team will go all in. You don't often see a team still think they can be competitive and do this at the same time.
Yeah, I was listening to the interview with Mo, and I try to catch a lot of sports on the Sunday morning, but I was listening to Mo, and he seemed to be in good spirits. And there's some really good things going on in spring training that you look at and say, wow, that's really encouraging to see, like, Victor Scott pick up where he left off late last season when he was really, really good. You've got some players vying for jobs that maybe we didn't anticipate, like Jose Barrera, the utility infielder who used to be Cincinnati's number one prospect. So Tecoa Roby, right on down the line. I didn't mean to go off course here. But he said we're trying to keep our fan base engaged and believing in what we're doing. And I have to say, I know that's what they're trying to do, but it's going to be really, really difficult. But let me say this. That's a very difficult needle to thread. Very difficult. Because as you know, man, I don't have to tell you. I mean, you know, the fans are very disappointed. They're down on everything. It's just the reality of being in this situation. But the one thing the Cardinals can do is it's all kind of up to the players, which is there's a lot of these players – that are capable of doing better than what they've done. And it's not me being Mr. Fred Bird to say that, because if you look at Walker, you look at Gorman, you look at both of them in 2023, you look at what Burleson did last year for the first 5 months. We know Donovan's very good. We know Nootbaar is really good when he can stay on the field. We know Wilson Contreras is going to hit. You have Mason Wynn, one of the best young shortstops in baseball. I think Arenado's still got some juice left in his bat, you know, to an extent. And I could go on and on and on. And I know some people are rolling their eyes, and that's fine. I don't care, because I've been very critical of things. I never hesitate to do that if I think it's warranted. But you look at this team, there is the potential for them to do better than what people thought. Now, I don't know about the starting rotation. That's going to be a big question mark. And, of course, the bullpen is going to have to be phenomenal the way it was last year. But it is not like the Cardinals are, you know, they have this lineup full of rookies and, you know, and all this stuff. They have guys that if you look at, you go to Baseball Reference and look each one of them up, you can see in the very recent past that they were really good hitters. Now they just all have to get to back to doing that again. And the more of them that can do it at the same time, that's where the Cardinals could be surprised. And I'm saying could be a surprise. And if there is a foundation for thinking that's not crazy to even say. Just look at their number in recent seasons.
I can see it. I mean, you know, at the same time, I do wonder how they could be a player in the division, because it all has to come together at once, or does it? I mean, if you look at the veterans on this team, you mentioned Arenado. Contreras is an interesting case because we didn't get to see him all last year. And I think that he's still young enough and has a lot to prove and a lot of pride to be an all-star player. I really am intrigued with this first base situation they put themselves in, with Baker getting a start today. I'm not sure how much run he gets, but who knows? Against lefties, the guy crushes the ball. And then you got Burleson. And then you got Gorman, who's going to DH today. And if Gorman goes 0-for-3, I believe that puts him at 0-for-15 for the spring, which... is that a cause for concern?
I'm sorry, Tom. You cut out there, or I cut out there. What part is the concern? I'm sorry, my friend.
Gorman. If Gorman goes 0-for, so you know, you start to look at this DH spot. Contreras gets some, Burleson gets some, Gorman gets some, but needs as many at bats as possible. Tricky situation if Gorman continues to go 0-for.
Well, see, and this is, you know, a lot of times we all talk about, and I'm asked a lot about, well, what really matters in spring training? We had a discussion on the Gas House Gang recently on that, and we encourage people to watch that weekdays at noon St. Louis time. Go to KMOX or go to YouTube. Anyway, you know, what really matters? What stats really matter? And one of the things I've always thought is when a player is coming off a bad year, that even though he's a veteran and all of that stuff, you still want to see some signs of progress. And you also want to see the said player have a lot more confidence. So from that standpoint, like, I don't really care what a lot of veterans do statistically in spring training. I just don't. But with a guy like Gorman and a guy like Walker, we'll use them as the examples. You really want to see them have success in spring training because it's something they can build on and carry over through to the start of the regular season. So, yeah, I would hope that Gorman would get going real quick.
What about from a pitching standpoint today? You're going to see Steven Matz. The move of Quinn Matthews going to minor league camp is not much of a shocker.
No, and I haven't scanned the social media for reaction. I'm sure some people are howling about that. But listen, Quinn Matthews will be pitching for the Cardinals if he, as long as he stays healthy, and as long as he has this excellent form that he has. Quinn Matthews is going to be starting games for the Cardinals this season. I can't predict when. We know that injuries happen. We also know that he could force the issue by pitching great at Memphis for a couple of months. So I heard what John Mozeliak said, and I totally agree with him. You know, he's not going to make the team coming out of spring training because for all the reasons we've talked about, the best thing he can do is get ready to pitch and just – kill everybody at AAA early in the season. And the best way to do that is to, you know, start to get in your routine because innings are hard to find for starting pitchers from this point out in training camp.
We have about a minute till we get to our break before Cardinal baseball. The Cardinals with a noon pregame today and a 12:10 first pitch. That's because the Cardinals are technically the road team today. They are taking on the Marlins at their home at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. The Cardinals going up against a Miami team today on KMOX. We'll have John Rooney, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, Ryan Schulte, Jim Jackson, Matt Pauly. They've all been down there representing us. I'll be down there in a week. And Bernie Miklas has been joining us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Always does a terrific job tying it all together. Make sure that you follow him on YouTube at The Bernie Show. He's had some great stuff up there. Most recently, he wrote a column about the Cardinals Hall of Fame ballot, which I found very interesting. Bernie, thanks so much for the visit today. We appreciate it.
Todd, love being with you, buddy. Take care.
We'll see you on the Gas House Gang tomorrow. Bernie's visit sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. So we are going to turn things over to Cardinal baseball here at 11:55. We take a break at noon. It is time for the network to take over for our producer, Drew Young, and all of our great guests, also earlier produced by James O'Sullivan. I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks for joining us on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.